This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
You have this standoff over DACA. And the Democrats are using this as an opportunity to say, you give us a clean DACA or we're going to shut the government down. And they think the Republicans are going to take the blame for it. And they're not going to take the blame for it this time. They're not. They're not at all. But isn't it telling, proving a point I've been making day in and day out, that they don't really want to fix DACA. They don't really want to solve DACA. Because they know that this is the worst possible way to bargain. You can't go to the Republicans and say, all right, look, we really want to fix DACA here. We have 700,000, 900,000 kids. We got to do something. The deadline's approaching. Let's just work this out. They're not doing that. Instead, what they're doing is you give us exactly what we want or we'll shut down the government. We'll shut down the government. Does that sound like somebody who's really coming to the table wanting to negotiate with you? In your mind, in your world, does that sound like somebody who genuinely wants to really negotiate? It's like the equivalent of somebody turning around to their employer. They don't want to stay, and they turn around and they say, "Well, it's very, give me $1 million or I walk." And then the company's like, "Dude, I no." And then all right, because they didn't really want to negotiate. And so, I have maintained, and I think other people are catching on to this fact, that they do not want to take away the only issue they have going into 2018. And it's shameful what they're doing. And it's so shameful, too, that they're playing politics with the lives of real people. And you got to hear this audio from The View of this family that was on there, because this gentleman who was deported from Detroit. And again, it's the double standard, this classic double standard, which is amazing. I read a piece in Esquire about this because I like to go to the lefty sites. I don't like to read the same sites that we all read over and over again. You know what I mean? Because why would I want to do that? That's boring. So I go to these lefty sites. I see what they're saying. So this is what Esquire said about this guy who was deported in Detroit. Jose Garcia was brought here when he was 10. And he's 39 years old, and he has kids, and they have this heartfelt moment at the airport, and they walk him off into the plane and his family. It's very, very, it's sad. But the question is it the law or not? The answer is yes. And so on the one hand, they say Trump's a fascist dictator. What do fascist dictators do? They don't follow the law. They make up their own laws. Laws are meaningless to them. A nation of laws, you enforce the laws, even the ones you don't like, even the ones that you philosophically don't agree with, and you enforce those laws as you work to change those laws. In dictatorships, the dictator just chooses. Forget that one. And if he needs to, he makes up new laws as he goes. And in this case, that's exactly what the left wants of the president. They say, well, you should have let this guy stay. You should have used some prosecutorial discretion here and let him stay. But they want that for every single person who's in the same situation as Jose Garcia was. Every single person. And so, on the one hand, the president's a fascist dictator, right? Tyrannical dictator. But on the other hand, when he follows the law and then says, it's the law, we got to just enforce our laws, and that's the deal, then they say he's a heartless SOB. You see how you can't win? That's the unavoidable position he's in. But ask yourself this question. Barack Obama deported more people in his first 7 years than every president combined in the century. So if you combine George W. Bush and Trump, Barack Obama still beats him by far. He has the record of deporting more people than any other president in United States history. So can you remember any of these heartfelt stories where people were ripped from their families and they had these tearful airport goodbyes and the people were on The View? Do you remember any of those? Because I got to be honest with you, I've searched and I can't find them. Barack Obama deported more people in 7 years than any president in American history, and apparently now none of them had kids. No one had kids. None of them had families. None of them had wives. None of them had husbands. They were all just single individuals, and each and every one of them was apparently a cartel leader. There was simply no heartfelt stories whatsoever. But the truth is, how many people were deported under Barack Obama? 2 2.5 million people deported. I don't mean just stopped at the border. I mean 2.5 million people were deported. I'll read you this from ABC News. President Barack Obama has often been referred to by immigration groups as the deporter-in-chief. Between 2009 and 2015, his administration has removed more than 2.5 million people through immigration orders, which doesn't include the number of people who self-deport or returned away at the border by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. How does it compare to other presidents? His deportations by the number, 2.5 million, 91% of the deportees in 2015 were previously convicted of a crime, okay? So the question then becomes that other 9%, look at me with the math, did any of them have kids? Did any of them have families? Was a family ever separated? Did anyone ever have to say goodbye? Or did each and every one of these individuals just go, yeah, I'm out, and lucky for you, I have no kids, and I have no wife, and I have nothing, and I'm not working, and I'm not paying taxes, and nothing. So yeah, I'm out. It's the double standard. It is the catch-22 double standard that this president and Republicans fall into, which is that his numbers on deportations nowhere come close to Barack Obama's numbers on deportations. And I have a hard time believing there was not at least one in 2.5 million, at least not one heartfelt story. But do you remember anybody being on The View back then? If you can find me evidence of anybody being on The View or any of these shows where the family was on there after Barack Obama deported their dad or their wife or their mommy or whoever, would you please let me know? Because I can't seem to find it. Think about this now. Ask yourself this question. Barack Obama, in his first term, had a Democrat Congress. Why didn't they fix this immigration problem then? Yeah, just ask the question, and you'll get your answer, and you know the answer. Because for them, it's an issue that they just do not want to give away. Joe is in Warminster. Joe, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
Good, Joe.
I had this very same argument with some friends of mine about 6 months ago regarding, you know, that Barack Obama deported more immigrants than anyone, any president before him.
Right. That's true. I just read 2.5 million.
Right. I did the math, and that would be something like 5,737 full of illegal immigrants being flown back to their countries. Or if you did it in buses, it would be around 12,000 busloads of people being sent back.
Right.
Who were deported. And why did no one report that, you know, report on that, CNN or anybody else, seeing these busloads and planeloads of people, crying people being shipped out of here because of Barack Obama? What happened there?
Yeah, it's a great point, Joe. That's a great question. I mean, you're telling me not one of these 2.5 million people had a wife or a child. There was not one heartfelt goodbye. That's what I mean in terms of this selective outrage.
Not on the plane or on the train or on the bus. You know,
right.
Not as far as I know.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that call. I appreciate it. And here's something else too, which I don't think they tell you in the media, is that Jose Garcia was ordered deported in 2009 by the Obama administration. And he had been given waivers, but eventually those waivers ran out. So, you know, as the family comes on The View, and I'll play a little audio of this, and I just think what they're doing here is it's very sad, because if they really truly cared about these people and wanted to fix this immigration problem, they would. But instead, they hold these people as political pawns, and they're hostages. And if you can't see that, like if you're somebody who is on the left and you can't see that, then ask yourself the question of how is it possible 100% of the 2.5 million people Barack Obama had deported, 100% of them didn't have a wife, didn't have a child, and they were 100% criminals. I just have a hard time believing that. Take a listen a little bit from The View.
Children in this country who live in fear every day that this is going to happen to them. How would you help? What would you say to them to give them some hope and to press on?
I have help through the UAW, the other organizations, Michigan United, and there are other organizations that are out there that are willing to step up and help me and my family during this trying time. But with God's help and his strength, I will move forward until my husband finds a job. I will have to keep up two households, mine and his. But I believe with God's strength, I'd be able to do anything because he's given me the power to speak up for everybody.
And that's what I mean. And stop it here for a second. Where were these stories under the previous administration? Where were they? Where were these heartfelt, emotional things? And that's what I mean. This is being done now because they want to paint a portrait of a heartless Republican Party, a heartless president, a heartless. But then the other point is that if they don't follow the law, then he's a tyrannical fascist dictator who doesn't want Congress and is going to abolish Congress and just do whatever he wants. So which is it? You follow the law, and it's sometimes heartbreaking. You know, there are situations where moms are sentenced to prison. I'll give you an example. Had Chris Christie not pardoned Shanine Allen, a mother of two, for bringing a legal firearm from Pennsylvania into New Jersey, she would have been in jail maybe for 11 years. Now, did you hear, besides us and besides Second Amendment advocates and libertarians and conservatives, did you hear a lot of outrage about that, but you might have locked this mother up and taken her away from her kids for 2 years? You had the prosecutor in Atlantic County, New Jersey, and you had all the pro-gun groups who were all out. They were fine with it, locking up this woman for 11 years. They were fine with it. And had, you know, Christie not stepped in and pardoned her, one of the only, I mean, no, he did some good things, but this stands out as, I think, one of his best things. Had he not done that, Shanine Allen would have been in prison. And then her two kids would, could you imagine The View having a segment on that? Could you imagine the View having Shanine Allen's kids on?
They should have had a segment on her.
Right, but imagine
she was in jail for like 30 days.
60 days. And imagine if she had gone to prison for 11 years, right? Which is what the judge threatened her with.
Which is horrifying.
Or 5 years. Could you see The View having a segment with Shanine Allen and saying, this is a crazy law, and it's got to stop, it's got to change? And of course not, because it's a Second Amendment. So call me crazy with this selective heartbreak and outrage and all the other things that go with it, because I just find it to be incredibly hypocritical and short-sighted. And it's sad when you put actual people in the middle of this political fight, because it's insane. It's insane. All right, 855-839-1210, pound 1210 on a cell. A couple people want to weigh in on the immigration stuff. Joel is in Newtown. Joel, how are you, sir?
Hi, Rich. Yeah, this guy raises nothing but questions in my mind. Number one, how long was he here for?
30 years.
So did he ever file for citizenship?
Yeah, I guess they had an immigration lawyer who might have screwed up, but they say they spent $150,000 to try to get him citizenship.
Then does he have a Social Security card?
I don't know.
I'm saying, I just have a bunch of questions, I wonder if he's registered. I wonder who he voted for president.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he's registered. I just don't know the answers to those questions. I know he did try to become a citizen, but it didn't, for whatever legal machinations, it didn't work out for him. So,
well, if you don't get it, then you have to leave then. I mean, there's no way around that.
You know, that is the law. I mean, as it's something Congress can change, though. That's what the legislature can do if it wants to. Thanks for the call, Joel. Appreciate it.
It's kind of amazing. Like, I can't imagine not having identification. I would have been thrown out of the country. You know what I mean? Like, how many times you get stopped or something? You need your ID. You know what I mean? How do these people, they're actually really talented and stealthy to be able to function for decades without, I don't know.
You'd be deported even though you're a U.S. citizen?
Right, I probably would be if I didn't have the ID.
You don't actually have to carry papers with you. You're not a dog, you know. Let's say you really have to.
But, you know, like if you don't have your registration, you get the $500
thing. But that's if you're driving
a
car. If you're not driving a car, you don't have to walk around with a driver's license.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, how do you even function in that? Anyway.
I know a guy who's never had a driver's license. Who is
really?
That? Yeah, Greg knows him too, I think. Yeah, I know a person who never got a driver's license. Just never bothered. Doesn't want to drive. So,
huh.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
So if they go, where's your ID? The guy goes, I got nothing.
I have a library card.
Yeah.
You can't get a library card without a license.
I don't think you can, right here in Philadelphia.
You cannot.
You can't stay at this hotel, I don't think, without a license.
That's what I'm saying. How do you have a job? How do you, like, function or do anything good if you don't have an ID?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, some of these places, they'll give you a card, like a non-U.S., non-legal.
It gets
you
nothing.
California does something crazy like that. I don't know. Dwight is in Chester Springs. Dwight, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. And I want to tell you that whenever you read a statistic, you have to figure out who picked the data set and also what they might be trying to interpret. But what happened was when Bush left, and I forget that name, the lady that was like in charge of Arizona and became our Homeland Security person. They changed the statistics so that turns away at the border were considered as deportation.
Not in the number I just read you. Not in the number I just read you.
No. How is deportation defined?
In the 2.5 million number I read you, look, there's no reason to debate this. The point is, did you hear any heartfelt stories of anyone who was deported under Barack Obama?
No, the point is they changed the way they count.
Okay.
They counted higher.
Fine. So you're telling me then, because of the way they changed the count, not a single heartbreaking story was ever happened in 7 years?
It's analogous, but the real issue is they changed the way they counted.
It doesn't matter how they changed how they counted. The point is you didn't have anyone on The View talking about how their mommy or daddy were deported, did you?
No, you're right.
That's my point. Thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. Let's not lose sight of the point here that I'm making. If we could keep on task, I'd appreciate it. The point is the double standard that has to be had. Greg, you're going to have to let our caller go because, unfortunately, our computer crashed here again.
I did it.
All right, thanks. Yeah, sorry about that. And thanks for the call. I'm just busting chops. Because it's fun to bust chops. And he's a man. He can take it. I assume he identifies as a man. I shouldn't make that assumption. I don't know.
By the way, at some point, we're going to have to play more of that View audio because that's not even the most egregious part of this. I mean, it's hideous.
And so let's assume, let's say the last caller was right. It doesn't matter. But the point is, I don't remember a single heartbreaking tale under the Obama presidency. You're telling me not one person left behind a wife or kids? Not one who was deported? Not one single person? In 7 years. I just have a hard time believing that.
Only criminals.
Oh, 100%.
And they were violent criminals.
They were all El Chapo.
Yeah.
Literally, 2.5 million El Chapos running around.
Yeah.
That's who they all were. If they were just a shoplifter,
yeah,
they were fine.
They were fine, right?
But you had to be like a killer.
Yeah, you had to be a serial killer.
Yeah.
In fact, each of these people murdered at least a minimum of 10 people.
At least.
At minimum.
That we know of.
Maybe more, I guess. 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. Jill is in Yardley. We got our computer back up, which is good. Hey, Jill.
Hey, Rich. I'm just curious, what has happened to Jose's parents that brought him here?
It's actually his uncle who brought him here.
It was his uncle. Where is he?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe he could step up and help out the family. What do you think? Or maybe
I don't even, Jill, I don't even know if he's still alive. I have no idea, you know.
Well, maybe Jose could go back to Mexico and apply for legal entry, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be really tough for him, though, because, you know, the way the law is that once you've been deported, becoming a legal U.S. citizen becomes almost impossible for you. So thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210, #1210 on a cell. All right, so... It's just for me, it's the double standard that is so glaringly obvious with all of this. And it proves my point, which is that they do not want to solve the issue. Do you think Elizabeth Warren really cares about Jose Garcia and his family? No, the answer is no. What she cares about is using that as a talking point in 2020. That's what she cares about. And that's my point. Is that it is beyond, you know, you'll take a sad story, a heartbreaking story. And by the way, you can feel bad for people. Like, you're allowed to do that, you know. It's okay. And still say you have to follow the law. You're allowed to be empathetic. It's fine. But they'll take that story, and then they'll apply that in a way that they've never done before. And then they'll use it as a campaign talking point. And that's where I say it's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. And it just proves the point. They don't want to solve it. So when Chuck Schumer gets on the floor of the Senate and says, here's my ultimatum, give us everything we want in DACA or we shut down the government, it's also proof they don't want to solve DACA. Because if they wanted to solve the problem, they would say, all right, look, here's the deal. We all got to give here, so we'll give a little bit if we come to the table. It's for them, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. And it's insane. It's craziness. It's absolute craziness. All right, 855-839-1210, #1210 on a cell. We are looking at the Eagles game on Sunday, and I'm excited. I really am. I'm super excited because this would mean the first time the Eagles have ever been in the Super Bowl. That's not true. That's not, you're saying it's not accurate.
Not true.
No. I was actually, Michael was a baby. I was in Jacksonville.
The last time we were. This will be the second, only the second time they're in the Super Bowl. Not true again.
Not true again.
This will be the first time that they will be in the Super Bowl this year.
Or in a decade.
Right.
Because Michael's, you know, now 13.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was like 10 months old.
Yeah, there you have it.
So
it'll be great. It'll be fun. And this concludes the sports talk.
It started at 4:07:20 and it ended at 4:07:47.
What do you guys like to eat for the game? What do you like to eat?
Oh, if I'm at home, I make a good chili. I like to grill.
A
good chili. Smart. They're such a smart
It sounds
kids.
Like you're in Minnesota right now, rooting for the Vikings. And I know you're not. I make a good chili. Down at the bowling alley.
Don't you know? But I love to grill. Even in the winter, I love to grill.
You like to go outside and grill?
Yeah.
This will be a great weekend for grilling.
Yeah. 50 degrees it's going
to
be.
There's a story here. Let me get to Kathy's call. But there's a story here about a restaurant that says if you want their spicy sausage, you got to sign a waiver. Like, I'm thinking about wings. I like to get the thermonuclear.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is a trigger. You can't say that, right, Greg? That's a trigger?
Oh,
that's
definitely true. A trigger, yeah.
To Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah. If you go into a barbecue wing place in Hawaii and go, hey, can I get the thermonuclear wings? They're like, too soon. Make it stop. All right, let's go to Kathy is in Easton. Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Now, I have a friend, Roger, who had a business over in New Jersey, married a beautiful young lady right out of high school, who had come to this country when she was 14 to visit her aunt from Thailand. And she got married to Roger at 20, and they needed to go and get her documentation straightened out, and they said, well, you're not in this country legally. And she had two little boys and an American husband, and they deported her. And we tried everything to get people to notice. We tried to get the media to do it. Nobody would listen. They sent her to Thailand. They told her she was not allowed back in the States for 5 years, and then she could apply. And so during the summer, her husband would go over to visit with the kids, and then they stayed here and went to school and daycare here in the United States. And so now she's trying to get back, but nobody cared. And it was just one story of one person in New Jersey.
And Kathy, because this happened during the Obama years, nobody, you're saying The View didn't ask the children to come on and they didn't do anything about it?
Nope. Nobody ever did. We tried. We called everybody. We called the newspaper. You know, this is outrageous. This is a beautiful young mom, graduated from high school. They never even thought that there was anything wrong with it. I guess the adults in the room should have known that. But I remember holding her two-year-old, and he would just cling to me because he just missed his mom. And it was just the saddest thing.
I guess I missed that story on CNN and on The View and on MSNBC and on Morning Joe, Kathy. I guess I missed it. Kathy, I'm so glad. Thank you, thank you, thank you for calling and sharing that. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We love your show.
Thank you. It's exactly proving the point beautifully. I mean, it's just, that's what I mean. Let's stop pretending like this is some sort of a new phenomenon under our immigration law. Laura's in Glen Mills. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Rich. Great show. Thank you. So my neighbor, her daughter fell in love with an illegal alien, married him. They had two children. And after about three years, I guess, of marriage, they deported him back to Mexico. And he had to stay there until they did all the paperwork, got lawyers, paid a boatload of money to get him back here to the United States. And finally, he did get back, and he's been back, but everything legal, everything up and up, and, you know, everyone knew about it. We all tried to help out, you know, watching the kids and that kind of thing. But
so you're saying that this man had children?
He had two children before he got deported, yes. Was married, had two children before he got deported back to Mexico for, like, I'd say 18 months, 2 years, before they could finally get him back into the United States. And I know his in-laws put out a lot of money in fees and...
So when was the family on The View, Laura?
They weren't.
I'm sorry, Laura. What was the day of the show, Laura, that they were on? Laura, as I'm asking the question.
Right. Never got picked up in the papers. Nothing. I mean,
like, Laura, do you remember what Joe Scarborough said about it, Laura?
No, I don't.
Well, listen, my dear, it sounds like it was a happy ending. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Laura. Wonderful call. Thank you so much. That's a big help to proving the point. So, this is what I mean. It's about a narrative. It's about, and it's shameful. And quite frankly, if they gave a damn about people, then those stories would have made it on The View. But that would have made Barack Obama look pretty bad, wouldn't it have? So, you get it now?
Rich Cioli, 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.